This morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verses 2 through 4. And it reads, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was of little stature. And he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he heard he was to pass that way." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to preach on the message, "Find a tree." Amen. Find a tree. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as we hear your word, that we might be not only inspired, but Lord, to be motivated and moved to act upon what we hear. As always, Lord, we are praying that the word would speak to our hearts and change us for the good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember growing up in the country, and what we would have to do when winter time was approaching, we would have to go out and find a tree to cut for wood, because it was from that tree that we would warm ourselves and cook our meals. You know, we have to understand that trees have value. They have value. We depend upon them as a human race, because without them, we would find it not only difficult but impossible for us to survive. They provide us with the oxygen that we breathe. They provide us with fruit that we can eat. They provide us with the things that we can warm our meals and be able to warm our homes in some cases. Trees prevent the erosion of soil when there's a lot of rain. And even when there are dry seasons, the trees are planted so that they don't allow the land to become a dust bowl. They have tremendous value in our lives. They have tremendous value to us as a human race. And I don't think that we fully appreciate it, because so often we just think, oh, something that we can cut down and buy our furniture. And matter of fact, thanks to a tree, you're able to sit today where you are. This building was constructed using trees, and we depend upon them so much that we even print the Bible using the tree. We print our money with a tree. Isn't it interesting that we find that that's something that we value, and yet there are many people who don't see that, and they're out to destroy it? Well, as much as it is a source of life for us, maybe we ought to take a better attitude toward that. Today, I didn't come to talk to you about the environment. I didn't come to make that speech. But I want you to think about how much you need a tree in your life. This man named Zacchaeus found one of the unique ways of using a tree. Now, it's unique because it was not just some young child, not just some little kid who thought it'd be interesting to climb up a tree, but here's a grown man, a grown man, making himself a public spectacle, climbing a tree, but he did it for a reason. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. He had heard that he was passing that way. And so rather than allow his stature, his inability, his limitations to keep him from seeing Jesus, he found out that there's an ingenious way for me to work this thing out. Now, we look at the value of trees, but we also need to look at the value of thinking through problems that we might have. Right. How many of you had some problems this week? Amen. Now, rather than just react and just do whatever comes to mind, maybe it would be better if you took a higher position. One of the things that I find out about church is that you can come here and you can at least pray and think about what you had to face. How did God get involved in that process? And what were you able to accomplish? Now, even in our failure, we understand that when we meditate, at least we know that God was right. That he led us in the right path, even though we may not have followed fully, but at least we had God to speak to. Now, here's a man that in his occupation, he had done everything against being a Jew. And not only was he a publican, he was chief. And what the Romans would do, they would contract with these tax collectors. They would contract with them. And so what they would do is they'd go out and they would collect the taxes, turn in Rome's part of it, and the rest of it, they'd put it in their pocket. That was how they earned their living. But not only did they earn their living, they earned a good living. Don't pass up the fact that Zacchaeus was rich. Now, he didn't get rich because he was out and his farm brought in great produce to where he sold it. He didn't get rich because he was able to go out and maybe sell some product. He got rich because he collected taxes. He got so rich that he had other people working under him. You get the picture? Amen. Now he's got employees working under him to help him be rich. Now, the Roman tax system really worked this way, and I was able to do some research on it. They were allowed to collect 1% of your income, okay? You say, that's not bad. We could deal with that in America. But no, it didn't stop there. If a tax collector came upon you and saw you wearing something that they needed to collect tax on, if you couldn't pay the equivalent, the sales tax, then you had to give up that item. Their system was so corrupt that you got taxed on everything. Sounds familiar? Yeah. I'm not here to argue the problem of to tax or not to tax, but when someone becomes rich because of the tax, something ain't right. I'm sorry, just something is not clicking with this. And that's how rich he was. So now here you've got this rich guy who you would think would have everything made, right? He's a chief tax collector. I mean, if you look at it, this guy has status. He has riches. And what in the world is he doing? Climbing a tree. The Bible says that he was short. Some things you can't change. And there are things yet physically that we can change about ourselves, but you cannot change. Jesus said, you will not make yourself taller by worrying. You will not turn back the hands of time by thinking, I don't want to get old. You better start enjoying the ride. So as we get older and as our stature is, there are limitations that we have. Now, he came in the crowd. He wanted to see Jesus, but people recognized him as the local tax collector. And they were not about to give him front row seat to see Jesus. Anybody in the house with me? So here he is struggling. He needs to see Jesus. Now, why is it that he wants to see Jesus? First of all, you've got to recognize that he is yet in poverty. Miss Cabler, he has a lot of stuff going for him, but as the Beatles would put it, there's some things that money can't buy. Some things that your dollars and your savings account and all of these things that you value, they can't buy. You cannot buy fellowship with God. You cannot buy God's healing power. You cannot buy the grace of God. These things God gives you as a gift. The fact that you are alive this morning is a gift of God. And as we come together as a church of the living God to love him and to serve him, we say thank you to this almighty God who loved us enough to let us see another day. But not only that, anybody know what the old folks used to say? He woke me up on time, but I was clothed in my right mind. So what God has done for you, he has done some amazing things. And we recognize that no matter how rich we are, we have a poverty issue. Amen. There's a part in you that cannot be provided by things. It has to only be provided by fellowship with God. How many of us would admit that we need forgiveness? Amen. Yeah, you can get the forgiveness of others, but nothing like God's forgiveness. Amen. How many of us would know that we need inspiration? You can read a poem and be inspired, but there's nothing like the inspiration of Almighty God. My grandma would put it this way. He walks with me. Anybody gonna talk to me? He talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. You've got to recognize your poverty. And regardless of how rich he was, how dignified he may have been, you know, it's kind of like a drug pusher or a pimp or someone who is out there and they know they've been wrong, even though they may ride in this big ride, live in this big house. But all of a sudden they recognize, I need something that money cannot buy. He climbed the tree because he had heard this rumor about this man named Jesus, that he's a friend of publicans and sinners. It could have been that he climbed the tree because one of his buddies, one of the friends of his, had left his tax collecting. Are y'all gonna talk to me? Matthew left the tax collector's table in order to find something to do with his life that meant something. He was willing to forsake all and follow Jesus. And I'm sure that Zacchaeus was thinking to himself, now if Matthew left that tax collecting table and I knew how much money he made because I know how much money I'm making, and if he's satisfied with Jesus, if everything is all right with Jesus, Brother Mac, then there must be something about this Jesus that I need to see. I got to find me a place where I can see him. He tried over here. And they wouldn't let him through. He tried over here and they wouldn't let him through. And then he spotted an old sycamore tree. Yeah. It was not a fancy tree. It just had what we might call, you know, it had these apple trees that kind of grow wild. And they yield these apples, don't look like a whole lot. And Palestine had these old worthless sycamore trees. You could eat off it, but you didn't really want to. If you cooked the apples or figs off of it, yeah, you had to put a lot of sugar with it, you know. And that was Zacchaeus. He spotted the tree, a tree that probably wasn't that productive, but he would be the fruit on that tree. He would be the one going to that tree and hanging out there. A spectacle to the whole world. I imagine that when he climbed the tree, everybody started laughing. But when you poor, when you know that you need something, and when that poverty gets to a level where now you're desperate. David put it this way in Psalms. He said, more than the deer panteth after the water brook. You've got these deer that they run through, but they know where the water is. And when one is far away, they begin to pant, but they can smell the water. And for Zacchaeus, he could find in Jesus someone that he could trust. He thinking in his mind, he's a friend of sinners. He doesn't judge us. He knows what we've done, but he looks beyond our fault and he sees our need. We recognize the poverty of our soul. But then, secondly, the thing that we've got to do, we've got to recognize that there's a Savior present. There's a Savior. The thing that bothers a lot of people, and I was reading a comment by Thomas Jefferson. He believed basically that God made everything, yes. But then God just kind of left it out, and he became unconcerned, disinterested, did other God stuff. But I'm here to tell you about a God who condescends time and space to see about you. Amen. How many of you have been to your wit's end and you cried out, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes. I shall not want. Amen. And in the midst of your cry, God came through right on time, gave you exactly what you needed because you recognized the presence of the Savior. Yes. Yes. He recognized that. He got up the tree to see Jesus, but he also knew that if he got up the tree, Jesus would see him. I don't know whether that was the inspiration for the writing of Pass Me Not. I don't know. But I can imagine that if this man was a friend of sinners, and certainly Zacchaeus was one, He didn't want this moment to pass him by. Yes, he wanted to see Jesus, but I also believe that he wanted Jesus to see him. Let me tell you something funny. You can like this. When President Obama was president, he was coming down 58, all right, Highway 58 down in South Boston. And kid you not, just before he got elected, people heard he was coming through. Okay, I'm on top of the hill up there, 58. I ain't going to get too close, but I'm on top of the hill of 58. And when the bus passes, you know, and then I say, I'm not close enough. But how many of y'all know that I'm vertically challenged? I said to myself, I got to get a little bit closer. Okay, so I'm out there on 58, and I just want one thing. Not only for me to see him, I want him to see me. Anybody in the house? So when he came by, everybody, but I made sure I got my way. We were at a function, and this happened in Lynchburg. Andrew Young was the guest, and at this time he was, I think he was ambassador, United States ambassador, and so, you know, he's a very prominent man. And of course, I'm there, not necessarily wanting to see him, but I did have on this bright red tie. And sure enough, when he turned the corner, he came up and shook my hand. I said, "Hot dog, this is good, man. This is great. This is some good stuff here." You know, you not only want to see Jesus, you want him to see you, Amen. The real you, Amen. The jacked up you, Amen. The one that when you turn the lights off, Amen. That person who can't in the dark hide who he really is. Amen. Not only did he see Jesus, Jesus saw him. Have you had those close contact moments with Christ where he sees you? He said, "Now, I want to assure you something. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Don't get me wrong. I could have destroyed you from a distance. I came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost." So here's Zacchaeus. He's climbing up the tree. But while he's climbing up the tree, Jesus' eye is fixed on him. When he gets to the right spot, when he gets to the right place, then I'll let him know that he's at the place of change. I want to use this time right here to talk about another tree. We call it the cross, and yet many don't know the value of the cross. The cross is a place of change. The cross is a place where you realize without God, you cannot go further in your life. You don't worship the wood on the cross. You don't worship the place where the cross is planted. You worship what it represents and who it represents. Because it was not the cross itself. It was the one who died on the cross that bought your redemption. At the cross, when I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. How many of you found that at the cross? How many of you found that in him is a resting place? In him is my completeness. In him is what I really want to be. And it's really who I need to be. A place of change. Zacchaeus came to that place of change. He said, "Now, Lord, half my goods I'm going to give to the poor." Now, why couldn't he give all of it? Because half of it didn't belong to him. That was Rome's stuff. How many of y'all know Rome going to get his stuff? Yeah, they're going to dig you up to get their stuff, all right? So he said, "Half my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone, I restore it fourfold." You don't begin to talk about emptying out your pockets without having something to have happened in your heart. This man is basically saying, "Lord, I come broke. I come broke." And Jesus is not telling you got to empty your pockets. But what he is saying, that whatever's in your heart, whatever's preventing you from really having that fellowship with God, you've got to come broke. You can't say, well, God, I'll give you this, but I'll keep that. Just as I am without one plea. But that your blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come broke. And I'm telling you that you will not just have that experience once in life, twice in life, three times in life. Over and over again, you'll find yourself coming to God broke. Joe, I've been there. And I've had that time with God. And I've noticed that whenever I come to him broke, he fills my heart with something that I could never have gotten on my own. Anybody in the house with me? Let me go on and finish this message up here. So it's got to be a place of change. Now, at that place of change, there are several things that happen. God begins to call you down. He calls you down. Look at somebody, tell him he calls you down. Yeah, he had to call Zacchaeus down from the tree. In other words, what in the world are you doing up a tree when I need you down here because I got to go to your house? Well, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. You don't know this man. He's collected all these taxes. He's made a profit from other people. And now you're going to his house? Yes, because I want to change his house. He didn't just spend time with sinners and publicans to participate in what they did, but to change them. Jesus calls us down. He whispers to us over and over again, what are you doing? Where are you going with your life? Don't you know that I give you your next breath? Everything that you have or ever could be had to come from my hand. Come down. Come down. I'll tabernacle with you. Here's what I believe when Jesus comes your way. He said, if a man love me, I and my Father will come and we will have our abode with him. Here's what I believe happens. When he comes to your house, with or without your permission, anybody know what I'm talking about? He begins to rearrange stuff, not in a way of dominating, but he says, this is right for you. It's not right for you to live this way. Let me bring you under conviction. And when you come under conviction, now his hand is shaping you. Amen. I tell you, my mama told me that when we were born, that our heads were a little bit odd shaped. So what she would do while she would have us in her arms, she would actually shape. Maybe your character is out of shape. And so what God wants to do, he wants to reshape your character. Because you all messed up. You're all over the place, right? And so maybe it's the way you communicate with people. Maybe God says, I want to shape that. I want to mold that. And if you don't allow me to come in, you've got something else in your house that ultimately is going to destroy you. You see what I'm saying? So when you talk about the place of change and inviting Jesus into your house and coming down from where you are, it's a place of acknowledging without him, Lord, I can't do a thing. If you want to check my closet, you can check my closet. If you want to check out the secret places that I've been hiding from you, check them out. Because I can't live with this. Here's the good news. For everything he kicks out, you know how you put it on the curve? I used to never watch the Flintstones. I mean, okay, young people, Flintstones, you know, it was this, old age or primitive age program where Fred Flintstone, you know, they had to get about on, he'd paddle. Okay, yeah, so you got it right. All right, so Fred Flintstone, at the end of the program, they're sitting stuff out. And so Fred sits out this huge cat on the curb. All right, the cat goes back in the house and brings Fred out and sets him on the curb, right? My whole point with that, I don't know what my point was, but Jesus will take this stuff in your life and set it out on the curb. Because he loves you so much that the stuff you treasure is really junk to him. But here's the good news, he brings in another treasure. You can't get the new in if you got the old on the inside. I don't know about you. I want a brand new house. I want a total makeover from God. Anybody bear witness to that? Yes, yes. We want him to change everything. Change everything. Change everything. but you got to come down. Secondly, this man had been called everything but a child of God. How many of y'all ever been called that? Stuff that you didn't even know your name. That was, I didn't know that was what I was. And it's something when you start answering to, Lord have mercy, Jesus. When you start, you know how folks, when they call you stuff that ain't my name. But you do it for so long. You live that way for so long as a rejected man, as a publican, as someone who was dishonorable. Jesus called him son of Abraham. Many of us, we depend on people to tell us who we are. When there's really one, only one, that can identify you. And that's Jesus. Amen. Until you've come to him and say, Lord, who am I? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? And Jesus said he too is the son of Abraham. And then in verse 10, he says, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that is lost. So he called him from the tree. He called him a son of Abraham, but he also called him to salvation. And while the Zacchaeus tree was a good tree, it got a man to his destiny in life, there's a better tree. The only tree where you can find life. The only tree that can make you complete. It's not the tree itself, but the one who died on it. And he didn't stay on the tree. He accomplished the mission of taking away your sins and my sins. But he rose again, high above principalities and powers and everything that is. And by God Almighty, he was declared Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye eternal doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The one who hung on the tree. He is the King of glory. I don't ask you to go out and find a sycamore tree or do like I did. We had a tree over in the hog pen, tallest tree in the woods. And one day I climbed that tree. Yep, I climbed that tree. I climbed that tree, got so high I didn't realize that the tree didn't have limbs down at the bottom. Now, the problem was not climbing the tree, but I'm going to get down from here. And I only knew one thing to do. Daddy! He too was a short man, but he got me out of that tree. What's going to get you out of your situation? Out of the issues of your life. Only the one who died on the cross for your sins and mine. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Oh God, thank you so much. We were up a tree. And the sad news is that the tree was decaying, about to fall. But then we found a better tree. It's the cross of Christ. The old rugged cross, I will ever be true. All my trophies, I lay down. Today, God, is a very somber time for many of us because we recognize the things that in our life that we flourish from. Wrong tree, wrong mission, wrong purpose. So now we stand here today before the cross, admitting our sin and our guilt, but also admitting our need for you and willing to confess and willing to abandon our own way that you might have your way. That's our prayer. That's our need. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. I've kept you all over time. You're almost late for Sunday school. Just tell them Rev kept you in. But if there's one today, perhaps you don't know Christ the Lord, you have never been to that tree, I want to give you time to think about it, to believe on him, and to trust in his word. May we all stand. We open the doors of the church. Whosoever will, let him come. And as the case, you may not have the energy or the ability to climb a tree. Some of you may be afraid of heights. Good news is you don't have to worry about it. There's a loving God who will reach you just where you are. Is there one? We're going to prepare ourselves for the offering. We ask that you prepare your gifts in your heart as we give unto the Lord. Then ask the officers to come forward.